They won that one with a final score of 11-6. So great job there.
Is college even necessary to get into the NBA at this point?
Got to focus on the game. This is not an easy win.
He's the most hyped up prospect since LeBron James.
This is the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to a brand new podcast here on 91.7 WEEM, Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network. But first of all, my name is Aiden Wilson and I'm joined here by
Eli Libler.
But for today's episode, our guys here on the sports staff are going to be talking about some current sports topics going on right now.
First off, we got Dawson and Ryan talking about the college tournament.
Yeah, before the college tournament, Eli, just some things to note. Personally, I've been watching the tournament, you know, pretty frequently, and some things that I've seen, NC State, they were an 11 seed going into the tournament, and now they're all the way to the Final Four. They have a good center down on their team, DJ Burns Jr. He's been really doing it for the team, and he's led them all the way to the Final Four. But Eli, as you were talking about earlier, just before we started recording, Purdue finally made it past the first round.
Yeah, fun fact, it's been 44 years since they last made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, and Eli, you said it yourself, Purdue now in the Final Four as well. I know NC State is in there, like I said, and I believe UConn and Alabama are in there as well. But make sure you guys stay tuned and keep listening for Dawson and Ryan talking about some more of that college tournament here on the Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook. I'm Dawson Perrell. I'm joined here by Ryan Davis. For our first episode ever, Ryan, we're going to be talking about March Madness, a.k.a. the best sports tournament out there, of course. It is March, the end of March, but with that, you know, we're seeing kind of the bottom half of the NCAA tournament. The Elite Eight will be, or Sweet 16, excuse me, will be starting up here shortly. Tomorrow will be the first games as we are recording this, of course. As you all are hearing this, it's the beginning of next week, so those games are already in the past, but we're going to be talking about more recapping the first two rounds and then maybe talking about our predictions going forward. But we're going to start up here in the East. Of course, UConn, the number one seed in the East, they have the best odds to win it all. They currently stand at plus 210, and they're very good. They're the team to beat right now. They proved that in their first two rounds. They beat a 16 seed Stetson by nearly 40 points, and then they beat Northwestern by nearly 20 points, and now they got San Diego State. Of course, they are beatable. They're not like an undefeated team that hasn't lost this season. I mean, they lost a game by 20 to Creighton earlier in the year, so they're not totally out of reach, but they're definitely riding a hot streak, and Cligan down low and Jacoby Walter at the guard, they're going to be tough to stop. And taking a look more at the East, some other games to point out here. First off, that Northwestern FAU, it was the only game to go into overtime in that first round matchup. And Northwestern, you know, they had a nice run against FAU. Of course, Florida Atlantic made it to the Final Four last year. They were hoping to repeat some of that success, but Northwestern ended those hopes early with a nice win. And overall, you look here at the East, I think the number one game that stands out to you is Auburn losing to Yale. I had Auburn going to the national championship. Little ashamed to say that, but that was really unfortunate that they lost to Yale, at least on my part. But it was still a nice upset, by the way. Final score of that one, 68-66.
Yeah, Auburn, I thought they were going to go. I think I had them going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
Auburn was a tough team. They've had great runs in the past, and I thought the same thing as you. Not to the national championship, but pretty far down there. But Yale pulled out that upset. I would talk about that FAU-Northwestern game. Northwestern didn't miss a shot in overtime. They were just hitting everything, pulling everything out of their bag. And I can't remember who it was. Can't remember the name off the bat, but the fadeaway jumper off balance.
Boo-booey.
Yeah, boo-booey. Mm-hmm. It was the toughest shot I think I've ever seen in March Madness.
Yeah, for Northwestern, we saw Langborg, a transfer from Princeton. He really starred in that one. Had a career-high 27 points. I think about 12 of those 27 points or so came in overtime. So he was a huge factor in that game. And The East, there wasn't too many good games really after that first round. We saw a lot of blowouts. UConn beat Northwestern by 20, as I mentioned earlier. San Diego State beat Yale by nearly 30. Illinois beat Duquesne, and Duquesne, of course, beat BYU the round before, upset them. But then they lost to Illinois by nearly 20. And then finally, Iowa State beat Washington State by just around 10. Or no, excuse me. Yeah, 10. You take a look at that BYU-Duquesne game. Duquesne, of course, was that the team that their coach was fired? Like the school announced that they're going to be firing the coach before the season was over. And I think it was kind of, it worked for him. It helped them because it gave him this fire that kind of ignited and, you know, they won their tournament championship and then they went on to upset BYU. Unfortunately, they lost in the second round to a tough Illinois team and Terrence Shannon Jr. But, you know, that was a good game. And again, outside of those two matchups, the Yale beating Auburn and Duquesne beating BYU, nothing really else happened too ordinary out in the East. Moving on now to the South. This one, a pretty big division. Of course, Houston, the number one seed. They had a close call against Texas A&M in the second round, beat them in overtime by 5 points. Texas A&M had a 3-point buzzer beater to push it into overtime, but unfortunately weren't able to pull out the upset. I had Houston losing in that second round, but I had them losing to Nebraska, not Texas A&M. So I think Houston is a little weak, and as of now, I think Duke can 100% beat Houston in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Houston and Duke, they're two really tough teams, a lot of great pass. But Houston, as you said, they're a weak team, but they also play with a little bit more physicality. Mm-hmm. That's where Texas A&M really got them. They were just a little more physical, a little stronger on down low, and that's what really what made that game closer. And Duke really isn't that physical team like we used to see back in the day. With, I think, Grayson Allen.
Yeah,
Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen was a very physical player. But yeah, Houston and Duke, that's going to be a great game to watch.
Yeah, as of now, I think, again, I think I'm predicting Duke to win that in my redemption bracket. Jared McCain coming off of a 30-point performance. You have a big man, Kyle Filipowski, down low. I think that one is going to be one of the closest games in the Sweet 16 round. You look further down, of course, to that. Well, James Madison, first off, before we get on further, James Madison beat Wisconsin in the South. That was really the upset. If you're going top to bottom, the first upset, James Madison went on to lose to Duke, where, as you were mentioning, Jared McCain had 8 3-pointers. Yeah. But Kentucky, the big one, Kentucky losing to Oakland in the first round, a 14 seed beating a 3 seed. Oakland beat them 80-76, and that was, I think, the first ever NCAA tournament win for the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. And of course, we saw Jack Golkey. Yeah, he dropped 32 points, had 10 3-pointers. He was unconscious, and yeah, he really fueled the run to take down Kentucky. And then in the second round, compete with NC State, of course, pushing that game into overtime. Unfortunately, the Cinderella story ended very early, losing to NC State in the second round.
Yeah, Jack Golkey has only had eight 2-pointers taken all year, and the rest were all threes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just insane, especially in college basketball.
Yeah, I think that just kind of sums it up, what type of player he is. Yeah. You know, he's just going to shoot it. He's very much a spot-up shooter, and I guarantee you, probably all of those 2-point attempts were on fast breaks where it's just, you're obviously going to take the layup. Cause I think there's probably only maybe one or two 2-pointers that he took that are set plays. I'm not sure exactly. Colorado beat Florida in a very high scoring game, 102-100. Colorado advanced they went on to lose to Marquette in the second round by 81-77. I saw that game. I was at Indy this past Sunday. Marquette, Colorado played, then Purdue played. I was there to watch Purdue, of course, but I saw Marquette and Colorado play. That was a good game. Both of those teams very talented, but Tyler Kolek and Marquette, they're going to be tough to stop down the line of you look for the Sweet 16 in the South. We already talked about Houston and Duke. That one's 100% going to be close. But I think NC State and Marquette could also be very close. I think there's a real chance that we see both of those games being upsets. I think NC State has the talent to beat Marquette, of course, with DJ Burns Jr. kind of taking over the country. I think it's safe to say NC State is kind of the America's favorite team.
Yeah.
They're probably at this point the biggest underdog. Of course, they weren't looking very good heading into the tournament. The ACC tournament, and then they went on to win it all. Yeah. They beat UNC to win it all, and then now they're continuing the success.
And it wasn't even like a close game.
No, they
it
blew them out.
Blowout, yeah. And I did have NC State going to the Sweet 16, but I do have Marquette going to the Final Four, so I kind of want Marquette to win. But NC State would be cool to see them go far.
Moving down now to the Midwest, Purdue, the first seed in the Midwest. They took down Grambling in the first round and then followed that up with a dominating performance over Utah State. The two seed over here is Tennessee. They're still in it, as well as the three seed. So as of now, the teams remaining, it's Purdue. They're going to be playing Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. And then on the other side, it's Creighton and Tennessee. Some big games to point out here. You look down towards the line, you see Oregon beating South Carolina. I don't know how much of an upset this is because I'm pretty sure Oregon was favored to beat South Carolina. Oregon then went on to lose to Creighton in a double overtime game. I'm not sure how long it's been since we saw a double overtime game in March Madness, but my bet it's been a couple years, and Creighton kind of just pulled away. You look at the score and you wouldn't think it's a double overtime game. Creighton won by 13 points, but I think Oregon was just really exhausted towards the end, and I guess Creighton was just a deeper team. And then Tennessee, they beat Texas in a close matchup 62-58 to buy them a ticket to the Sweet 16. At this point, I'm obviously hoping Purdue can go forward. I think with Zach Edey, Braden Smith, and the others around them, I think they have the ability to beat Gonzaga. They already did earlier in November this year in the Maui tournament. So I think they can take down Gonzaga. It's going to be close, though. I saw this post by Field of 68 where they were saying there's zero chance Gonzaga wins. And that's just not true because you look back to that game against Purdue and Gonzaga in November in that Maui tournament. It was, I think, under a 10-point game, and Gonzaga was shooting like 13% from three-point, 38% from the field, just a really bad night shooting. So if Gonzaga's shooting well, I don't know, maybe they can pull off the upset. But as of now, I'd say if I had to rank the teams remaining, I'd go UConn number one, but then I'd go Purdue pretty close, a close number two.
Yeah, UConn's a really good team. Purdue, Zach Edey. Zach Edey's been really cooking. And I just want to go back to that, to Tennessee. I want to say I'm sorry to Tennessee. I was thinking of a big upset, and I'm sorry for everyone, but I picked St. Peter's to go to the Sweet 16, and that was not a smart idea. They got killed. They almost lost by 40. And Creighton. Hope Creighton actually wins. I love Creighton. Creighton Blue Jays.
I think Creighton could beat Tennessee. They're a real good shooting team. They've been up and down. As I mentioned earlier in our podcast here, they beat UConn in the regular season by I think it was over 20 points. So they have the ability.
At UConn.
Yeah, it was at UConn. So they have the ability to beat very, very good teams. But Tennessee also is riding a pretty big win over Texas. Of course, Texas, a very tough seven seed. Yeah. Finally, moving on to the West as our time is running short here. UNC, number one seed in the West. They're still alive. They're going to be facing Alabama in the Sweet 16. Clemson has been kind of a Cinderella run. I had New Mexico beating Clemson in the first round. I think so many people did as well. I'm pretty sure New Mexico was a lot of people's Cinderella favorite to go far, a double-digit seed going far. And Clemson kind of, not too long after the bracket got announced, they kind of took the role of an underdog because so many people were saying New Mexico. And Clemson proved them wrong. They beat them by over 20 points. And then they went on to beat Baylor by just under 10 points. Baylor, of course, a three seed. I didn't think Baylor was that good. I had New Mexico beating them in that second round, but Clemson decided to do the job instead, and they took down Baylor. They're going to be playing Arizona. The thing about Arizona, though, they're a very fast-paced team. Caleb Love is very, very good.
He's a dog.
If we see a UNC versus Arizona game in that Elite Eight, Caleb Love revenge game, that's going to be fun to watch because I think Caleb Love could 100% lead Arizona to a win over Clemson. Then, say UNC wins on the other side of that, a win over the Tar Heels.
Yeah, Clemson's definitely a team I did not see going that far. I did have them beating New Mexico, but Baylor, I really did think they were going to make it to the Sweet 16 and lose to Arizona.
Yeah.
But yeah, Clemson's really showing off their defense right now. They've been a really tough team to beat. And I'm actually, the North Carolina-Alabama game, I want to go back to that. Alabama's looking really good.
They are.
And UNC is going to have a tough task to beat them, but I do believe they can. And I do have predicted to have Arizona to beat UNC in that Elite Eight.
Yeah, and you mentioned Alabama. They're a very fast team. They're going to push the floor. I'm pretty sure they still average the most points as a team in per game in the nation. Yeah. Shear is very, very good. So I think if we see an Alabama-Arizona game in the Elite Eight, I think that Colorado-Florida game is going to have a run for their money for the most, the highest scoring game in the tournament, because Bama and Arizona, they're probably two of the highest scoring teams in the bracket when it comes to actually looking at the statistics. So I'm pretty excited to see how the rest of the tournament plays out. At this point, I think my Final Four is going to be UConn. I think I like Arizona still beating UNC or Alabama. I think I like Duke coming out of the South, and then I got to go with Purdue coming out of the Midwest. Yeah. And then for the championship, at this point, I think it's just got to be Purdue and UConn. They're the two best teams.
Yeah. So for me, my Final Four is still intact. I have UConn and Arizona playing in Marquette and Purdue.
Yeah.
But I do have Purdue and Arizona going both. I see Arizona beating UConn this year and actually winning the national championship. So
I like that. I like that.
Maybe.
All right.
Had a feeling.
That's all the time we have. We appreciate you all tuning in. We're going to take a quick break. Our next segment will be up next after this on the Arabian Sports Network, Inside the Playbook, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister's Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Twister's Soda Bar offers a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, snacks, and can combine any of those with their syrups, creams, fruit, candy, and edible glitter. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network. You guys were just listening to what Dawson and Ryan had to say about the college tournament. But up next, we do have Zion and Lucas here on the sports staff talking about NFL free agency. Eli, so far in the NFL free agency, we've had Derrick Henry go to the Ravens, Saquon Barkley go to my favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then Kirk Cousins, went to the Atlanta Falcons, as well as Keenan Allen went to the Bears alongside DeAndre Swift and Kevin Byard, I believe, were the main targets there for the Bears before the upcoming NFL draft. But Eli, did anything really stand out to you so far during the NFL free agency?
Jerry Jeudy went to the Browns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was another one.
That was a big one for probably the Browns. That's going to be a huge play for them.
Yeah. And like I said, they did sign Keenan Allen there in free agency, too. They picked up a running back. They definitely made their defense better. And they do have the number one pick heading into this next year's draft. But stay tuned, again, to hear what Zion and Lucas have to say about NFL free agency here on Inside the Playbook on the Arabian Sports Network.
We welcome you here today to the very first ever Inside the Playbook episode on the Arabian Sports Network. I'm Zion Palmieri here with
Lucas Williams.
And today we got a special one for you. Today we're going to recap NFL free agency. Currently is the 27th of March. So a lot has happened. The start of it was a couple weeks ago before we were on spring break. So, we got a lot to talk about. So starting off, we'll recap. So Josh Jacobs, former Vegas Raiders running back, he signs with the Packers. The contract was 4 years, $48 million.
I mean, the Packers were definitely in need of a running back, especially, considering the next guy we're going to be talking about kind of left. But, 26 years old, he had 805 yards, six touchdowns, and now he is signing for 4 years for $48 million for a running back.
Way to get a bag. The running back market isn't very good. And a couple years ago, Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing yards. So Josh Jacobs, he's a very good running back. And what a cold move by the Packers. Aaron Jones, he was an all Green Bay guy, got drafted to Green Bay, all big Green Bay guy. They cut him.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, and then, so very thing next to my top, we're ne- very thing we're next going to talk about. He signed with the Vikings, the rival, the day, I think, I don't know, I don't have the exact, but like a couple hours or the day after. So he was angry about this. And I saw he was on like an interview or something. And he was like, I don't care about the Packers roster anymore or something like that. Like, he does not care. So that is a cold move.
Yeah, and especially signed to the Vikings. I mean, as you just said, the rivalry.
I mean, but only took $7 million, so I don't think they're going to win, and I don't think he wants the bag. So that was 1 year, too. That was just to get back at him.
Yeah, 1 year. I mean, he is only 29 years old, so he still has, I mean, a good amount of years left in his career. But, I mean, he did have 656 yards and 2 touchdowns, which actually isn't as good as he has played in Green Bay. But, I mean, he still has definitely some room for improvement.
He's been in the league for a while. He's a veteran, and he's been all with Green Bay. All with Green Bay, like, through it all. So that's kind of cold. Moving on, though, we're going to talk about the Falcons. They signed quarterback Kirk Cousins, 4-year, $180 million.
Shoot, that is just a lot. I mean, but it is Kirk Cousins, though. At least, like, that is a well-known
35-year-old Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that is
coming
true.
Off an Achilles injury. Yeah. So last year, they could have signed Lamar. They said they didn't pursue him. Then Lamar signed a 5-year, $260 million. So would you rather save $80 million and sign MVP Lamar for 5 years or get 35-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off an injury for 4 years?
You know, being a Colts fan and having a lot of different quarterbacks, specifically veteran and old quarterbacks, probably have to take Lamar. I mean, it's Lamar Jackson.
Like, he just won the MVP.
Yeah.
What are they doing? I know they just hired a new coach. Get your head out of the gutter, dude. What are you doing? Come on.
So.
Moving on, though. One of the biggest signings of free agency, the Ravens signed running back Derrick Henry out of Tennessee. Another big guy for his culture. Tennessee loved Derrick Henry. And I know the last game he had like a speech after the game because it was kind of somber and no one saw him staying with Tennessee. So he ends up signing with the Ravens. And I think he's here to win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he actually got a really cheap deal. I mean, 2 years, $16 million for someone like Derrick Henry. And I mean, also look at, what, who was it? Josh Jacobs, running back, 4 years, $48
million. Yeah, I mean,
and then you got, you know, Derrick Henry. I don't need to talk about him.
The only downside,
you know,
is he's 30.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, but like
he's
Josh Jacobs
stud.
Or Derrick Henry, I'm going to take Derrick Henry, especially on that contract. And he's going to the number one rushing offense in the league, the Ravens. Last year, they had 2,661 yards. Like, that's going to be so hard to stop. I hate the Ravens. I got a friend that, like, won't shut up about the Ravens. So this next year might be rough, next 2 years.
Yeah, when I saw that the Ravens were signing Derrick Henry, I got an ESPN notification. I'm like, no way. Because now they could be actual Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, I was kind of I don't like, I mean, the everyone thought the Super Bowl was, like, the worst teams. Like, it could have been Lions, Ravens. I don't like Chiefs. I don't like Ravens. I was happy when the Chiefs beat the Ravens because my friend. But, like, it is just not looking good. For, like, our teams, like, we sign nobody.
Yeah.
Like come, we want to win, right? Patriots have the most cap space in the league. What are we doing? But moving on, Russell Wilson is a Steeler. So kind of pairing with this, Justin Fields, the Bear, was traded to the Steelers for a 5th and 7th round pick. Bears could have gone with Caleb Williams, who's probably going to go first overall in the draft, or Justin Fields. They opt for Caleb Williams, probably most definitely. But at the same time, Steelers get him and they sign Russell Wilson. That's crazy.
Yeah, also talking a little bit about Justin Fields, he was traded for a 5th and 7th round pick.
Bag of chips.
I mean, literally.
That's awful.
I was, as soon as I saw it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's like they ran out of time, but they didn't. They have so much time. So what are they doing?
No idea.
He's 25 years old. I have good idea, bad value. It's like that was the correct thing to do. Caleb Williams, I mean, that's going to hurt. I saw the coach talking like that's going to hurt. Everyone loves Justin Fields, but like that's just not the right pick. But who's going to be the starter, though? Because if you're Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, you got 35-year-old Russell Wilson who came off an OK season. I know he got benched later. Sean Payton wasn't very happy with him.
Oh, no. Not at all.
And then Justin Fields, who's on the come up pretty much, but is he going to sit behind Russell Wilson?
Actually, I think so. I remember reading somewhere that Justin Fields wasn't really trying to compete to be the starting quarterback because you have to compete with Russell Wilson. However, Russell Wilson is 35 years old. Yeah. He's not the Seattle Seahawk that he once was.
Yeah, I mean, good on Pittsburgh, though. They've set themselves up for the future there. Hopefully they'll chip it out this year. If they stick with Russell Wilson, they'll chip it out this year. Get a good amount of wins, get a nice draft pick, whatever. But you that's your franchise quarterback, and if it's not, I mean, Justin Fields is the problem now.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was. But something to mention. So he signs that giant contract with Denver, Russell Wilson does. Denver still has to pay him $49 million because they released him. Steelers pay him $1 million.
Yeah.
A single million dollars.
It was like, what, 1.2? And I remember reading it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That is so incredibly low.
Just a smart move by the Steelers, because Denver released him. He could have gone to, the Falcons, but they opt for Kirk Cousins. Patriots were probably going to draft a quarterback. So Kirk Cousins makes the right move. Russell Wilson makes the right move. So, yeah, kind of crazy. But moving on, once again, we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield. He re-signed to Tampa Bay, 3 years, $100 million. Another just great move by the team here, Pittsburgh and now Tampa Bay. Baker kind of proved that he was the guy.
Last year he had an incredible season. Just over 4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns.
The best of his career.
He's been playing really, really good.
So we went to Cleveland, didn't know if he was that guy. They decided to ship him off. He was in Carolina for a bit. He went to the Rams, had that crazy game that one time. Decides to get in Tampa Bay and kind of sticks it out there. And the other thing that probably helped him re-sign, Mike Evans re-signed too. 2 years, $52 million. Both deals, they're a lot of money. Mike Evans is a lot higher than his per year. It's high. But Baker Mayfield's is technically higher. He gets $33 million a year. Mike Evans gets $26 million. But that's just that's a tandem there. They sign together. And I bet they both wouldn't have re-signed if they both didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, again, just a good move by the organization here. So, free agency, you could see some organizations do some smart things like Tampa Bay, and then you got the Cowboys. They signed only people back.
Yeah, they were kind of just a little lackluster. Maybe they were hibernating a little bit.
Fell asleep.
Haven't really done anything. Also, yeah. I want to touch up on good old Indianapolis real quick.
Yeah.
We got another veteran quarterback.
I didn't want to talk about this.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
We have Joe Flacco, baby. The absolute GOAT.
39 years old.
I can't even say that with a straight face. 39 years old. He kind of has played a few good games, but
this is the right decision, though.
Yeah, but guess what? Next year, they're probably going to have to sign another.
Oh, yeah.
And then another, and then another, and then another.
So, they got Anthony Richardson. Hate to be that guy, but he's probably going to get hurt again. He needs to, I'm curious to see when he comes back this year, what he did in the offseason, because, that guy was just throwing himself on the field. If he plays way smarter, he could be really good. So, hopefully, Joe Flacco doesn't got to come on the field. If he does, we might see another Linsanity Joe Flacco. Yeah,
I really hope so, because Indianapolis kind of needs it.
Yeah, and then we're going to do one more here because we're kind of running out of time, but the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley. I hate the Eagles. I think everyone does except Eagles fans. 3 years, $37.5 million. Another bag. He's coming off 962 yards and 6 touchdowns, so not the best season for him, but still a very good season by a running back. I think along with the Derrick Henry trade, the whole NFL is like, what are we doing? We're just letting they're building super teams.
Yeah, it's this whole free agency has just been so weird. You're seeing just people sign to teams that you'd have no idea, like Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, and people like Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
Also, more like Snaquan Barkley, You're with the Giants. Giants have done so many good things to you, but also some bad. They franchise tagged you the previous year. You've gotten so much money and stuff and building relationships there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go sign with the franchise rival Eagles.
I think you're talking out of the heart here right now.
I don't like any of those teams. I'm a Patriots
fan. Yeah, you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah,
Hey, remember the 2018 Super Bowl?
Yeah, whatever. We lost to both the Giants and Giants twice, Eagles once.
Yeah, Eli Manning owns you.
Whatever. it's crazy, though. Like, super teams and nothing. Like, there's no in between.
Yeah, this is going to be a really weird season, but I am pretty excited for
it. I think everyone is, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But that is going to wrap up today's segment with me and Lucas here. This was, you know, NFL Free Agency on Inside the Playbook on the Arabian Sports Network.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing 24-hour emergency service and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838. House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network on 91.7 WEEM. You guys were just listening to Zion and Lucas talk about the NFL free agency. But next up, me and Michael really sat down and talked about some NBA news. Eli, some things that really stand out right now going on in the NBA is the MVP race. We're getting close to playoff time, so me and Michael talked about some potential winners of that trophy, as well as some conference standings. And Eli, the Pacers are also the sixth seed there in the Eastern Conference, obviously in Indiana. Most people cheer for the Pacers, but Eli, is there anything that really stands out to you regarding the NBA?
The Golden State Warrior potential is falling off. That's like crazy how the Golden States are falling off.
Yeah, Golden State Warriors. Obviously, I'm sure everybody, you know, our age started watching basketball, really just got into it. The Warriors, you know, they were this big dynasty. Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and then eventually Kevin Durant went to Golden State as well. But yeah, Eli, like you said, the lineup's just really not the same anymore. Stephen Curry's getting old. Draymond Green's getting into some on-the-court trouble, you know, getting ejected from most of these games that he's really playing in now. And the Golden State Warriors, they're the 10th seed there in the Western Conference. Definitely not something we're used to. You know, we're used to them being at least in the top three, and now they're, you know, potentially not even in the playoffs. So make sure you stay tuned to hear me and Michael go into more depth about that, and as well as some other things regarding the NBA here for Inside the Playbook on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to Inside the Playbook on the Arabian Sports Network here by 91.7 WEEM. For this segment, it is me and Aiden Wilson. My name is Michael Hooker. I probably shouldn't say me.
Yeah.
But we are going to be going through NBA news, mainly the NBA standings and the kind of the playoff picture and the MVP race. So do you want to start with the Eastern or Western Conference?
Michael, let's start with the East because they seem pretty close.
Yeah, the East. Lots to talk about. Number one in the East, they've pretty much clinched that.
Yeah, besides Boston.
I mean, besides Boston, I mean, they're 60-16. Nobody's really going to take number one from them. Number two is the Bucks at 47-29. A couple games ahead of the Cavaliers at three, who are tied with the Knicks and the Magic for that spot.
Right.
And then you have the Pacers at six, and those are teams that are so far guaranteed not to be in the play-in, but in the playoffs. And then the two teams that are very close to each other in that play-in tournament and could make a big push here towards the end of the season are the Magic and the Heat and the Sixers, who are the 7-8 seeds. Then you have the Bulls and the Hawks sitting at the 9-10 slots in the play-in tournament for the Eastern Conference. So a lot of teams that are very, very close in records there for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, Michael, as you were saying, for the Bulls and the Hawks, I feel like they're always in the play-in, especially at those exact seeds too. But yeah, as you were saying, for the Celtics, I think they're going to keep the one seed. This might be kind of biased, but I think the Sixers are going to move into that those playoff seeds where they're actually guaranteed to be in. I think the Pacers can fall down into that play-in tournament, and I think the Heat are going to stay there as well. But, I'll go over the West. So, for the West, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're at the 1. And then we have the Denver Nuggets. They're at 2. Both of those teams, both the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, have 53 wins.
The only difference is Minnesota has one less loss. And then at the three spot, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder at 52-24, and then the Clippers at 48-28, the Mavericks at 46-30, the Suns at 45-31. And as you were saying earlier, those are the guaranteed teams for the West. But for the play-in tournament, we do have the Pelicans. They're at 45-31 at the seventh seed. The Kings at the eighth with a 44-32 record. And then the bottom two teams are the Lakers and the Warriors, which is, at least to me, surprising. You know, both of those teams with both of those players, obviously LeBron James and Steph Curry, not even being guaranteed into the playoffs this year.
Well, I think part of that goes into, you know, they're getting older. So, and even their teammates around him, like Anthony Davis with LeBron, he's getting older. D'Angelo Russell's getting older. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson for Stephen Curry, they're getting older.
Yeah, they're falling apart.
But what they have in age when it, in the regular season can really help them in the playoffs because, you know, you can use your experience to benefit you and make a big push. And that's what kind of the Warriors' last championship was. You know, their experienced guys kind of took over and really helped the team win a title. Not, but you can't forget some of those young guys like Anthony or Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga coming in off the bench or starting, giving them great minutes. Even Kevon Looney, I mean, coming in for them and giving them some great minutes and putting up some points and rebounds, playing great defense. So really, those teams have the depth. It's just they're in kind of a tough position in that play-in tournament.
Yeah, but another thing for the Western Conference as well, Michael, I forgot to mention the Houston Rockets. They're four games behind the Golden State Warriors, but they're also, you know, I guess you could consider them play-in contenders. Maybe they won't make it to the guaranteed playoff rounds, but at least they'll make it in the play-in tournament. And honestly, between those two teams, the Warriors and the Rockets, if Jalen Green keeps playing how he's playing, especially how he has recently, I think the Rockets can make a push into the playoffs too. But Michael, I have a question for you. So obviously you're a Pacers fan, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So going into the playoffs, maybe some of these teams are kind of weaker than their record says, and maybe some teams are stronger than their record says. So with that being said, Michael, who do you think in the Eastern Conference, at least for now, who do you think is really a sleeper team there in the conference seedings?
Well, I'm just going to eliminate teams that I think are not going to be sleeper teams really quickly. So I'm going to eliminate Hawks, Bulls. I hate to say it, but the Pacers, and obviously sleeper teams won't be the Bucks and the Celtics. I mean, they're too good to be sleeper teams. So really, we're expecting them to be good. And I'm also going to eliminate the Orlando Magic. While although they are a good team, they are too young. They have no playoff experience. So I think that's going to be their downfall. Who I do think are going to be a couple of the sleeper teams to watch in the East are the Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. The Knicks having a great all-star duo with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. As long as they can stay healthy for the playoffs, they
and
are a scary team.
Julius Randle, he's out for the season. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know
He just got season-ending surgery, I think, earlier today. I think it was announced.
Okay.
And obviously, today is April 5th for you guys listening to it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. So while they do lose Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenstein has been playing good in the post.
Precious Achiuwa from
Precious Achiuwa in the Toronto trade. Yeah. OG Anunoby's been developed pretty well. So
is he back yet? Because I know he was injured.
He should be back
before.
He should be back for playoffs. I know that. I believe he should be back for playoffs. But the New York Knicks, I mean, they're definitely one of those teams. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I feel like they're a sleeper team every year.
They are, and I think this year's definitely a big one. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, when you have him, he's always been known to step up in those big playoff games. I mean, we watched it when he played Russell Westbrook back in 2018 and 2019 in those playoff series.
The Jazz,
those were some of the better playoff series in the first round. I mean, those were competitive. So I think really, Cavs and Knicks, can't count them out. You can't.
Yeah, my pick... I'm going to be honest, I disagree with you for what you said for the Magic. Because, I mean, if we look at the West, the Thunder, sure, maybe they have a couple more veterans and like Gordon Hayward and some other players there on the bench, maybe Lou Dort. But for the Magic and the Thunder, I think they're pretty close in age. And I know the Thunder are doing better statistically, especially in the seedings and stuff. But Paolo Banchero, he's different. He's good.
He is good. But the thing that you have to realize is in the playoffs, you can be a good team, but so is the team you're playing against. And it's a 7-game series. And sometimes those games will go to a game 7. And everybody,
the player with more experience, right? Usually,
yeah, like it's like those series that go to game 7s, especially even in that first round, the team that is more experienced will move on. And they'll be going up against the New York Knicks in the first round if they stay where they're at. I don't see them moving up, but I could see them in the Knicks swapping places once or twice.
Yeah.
All that really means is who has home court advantage. But that could be a big thing too, because the Knicks, it's Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's a culture thing.
It's
but so is it for Orlando, because they have their theme song that everybody knows.
Famous TikTok song. Yeah. I hate that song, but it's a funny song.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should switch over to the Western Conference now. You kind of mentioned there the Thunder.
Yeah. Michael, you can go first, or if you want me to, I will.
You can go first, since I went first last time.
Okay. So for the West, you can't really say the Timberwolves are a sleeper team, but I think they're undervalued for sure, because they're the one seed. You know, they have the best record, obviously. They're people are expecting the most out of them, but I don't know. I think if Rudy Gobert can play to his full potential, which we've seen before.
This season he's been outstanding, better than last year for sure.
Yeah. And Anthony Edwards as well, kind of not so like – not super recent, but maybe a month ago or a little bit after that. He was playing at a very good level until I think he missed a couple of games just for, I think it was family reasons. I think he had a baby or something. But, so I guess you can't really count the Timberwolves, but I'll go with the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks look really dangerous right now. I love the Luka and Kyrie backcourt. Their front court with Daniel Gafford and who is it?
He's a
Washington
rookie.
What's his name?
Well, Washington's there, but there's also that rookie as well.
Derek Lively. Yeah,
I like him.
So I think for my sleeper team, I'll go with the Mavericks. And I think for my team that people overrate, I guess, I'll go with the Clippers, because James Harden's on the Clippers.
You just don't like James Harden after the whole Philly thing?
And they can't really figure out their rotation, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so for my pick in the West, my sleeper team, I agree. I like the Mavericks pick, but you know who else I like?
Mm.
Phoenix. Devin Booker's hungry.
Yeah.
KD, I mean, it's KD. He's probably the greatest scorer of all time. Although he's not scored like a ton, like 40,000 points like LeBron has.
Nobody can guard him in isolation.
Exactly. Like KD, late game KD is a different, he's a different thing. That's why his nickname is the Slim Reaper.
Yeah.
Because he is just so, he thrives in those scenarios. And then you throw Bradley Beal in that equation. I mean, he's a good scorer. We've seen him in the playoffs before.
He's had a couple good games. I think he had a 40-something point game recently.
And even as a third option, that's a solid third option.
And Yusuf Nurkic.
Yusuf.
He's been good.
Yusuf is insane for this team. Mm-hmm. He brings the element that DeAndre Ayton could. Yeah. Grayson Allen's he's a hype guy. Yeah. I mean, that's what he is. He's an energy guy.
He's a better scorer. He's like he's a Pat Bev, but he can score the ball.
Yeah, exactly. But he's also a hard-nosed defender. And then I agree with you on the Clippers being the disappointment of the Western Conference playoffs. Although they do have the most experience in these playoffs with Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. I mean, those are four very big
There's
players.
A few select teams that can have that many all-stars and actually do something with it.
I mean, can we just talk? If you made that team, made the Clippers back when you had prime PG from the Thunder, you had Raptors.
Do you think
Kawhi.
PG's prime was on the Thunder? As a Pacers fan, do you think PG's prime was on the Thunder?
I think
it'd go either way, but I'm just asking.
I think he's better now. When he was better now, like on the Thunder and the Clippers, than he was when he was with the Pacers. But the most exciting version of Paul George was rookie Paul George and those battles with the LeBron Heat. And even after the injury, he wasn't like the high flying guard that he was. Right. He was still an exciting player and could make a big play. But I think definitely now he was better. But like prime PG, prime Russ, MVP Russ, and prime Kawhi on the Raptors, where he led him to a championship, and MVP Harden. MVP. Yeah. Oh, like my. I'm sorry. That's like crazy. You tell me that team and like in their prime, like a few years ago, they're winning the championship each year. That's what I'm saying. But now, not so much. They're all aged. I mean, Russell Westbrook is not like he was. He's getting back there. I don't think
honestly, Russell Westbrook is on a decline. I think his minutes and his usage are on a decline.
But he also took that pay cut and he told the Clippers, I want to lead that bench unit because he's thrived this season coming off the bench and getting a minutes cut, but he's also making his teammates better. And I think we really see the unselfishness from Russ there. Sure. He's a very unselfish player.
He wants to win, definitely, because he's getting to that age too.
And honestly, I would like to see the Clippers kind of switch the guards and go Russ at starting one and Harden at the backup.
Because James Harden recently, that's what I'm saying. Like I don't really have a problem with James Harden. It's just his consistency. I think it might be a hot take, and this is for a separate episode, but I think James Harden might be the most overrated guard in the league. But we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody hyped him up after Houston Harden was, I mean.
He gained. So much, what do you call it? He gained his, you know, confidence and his superstar. Man. Like people saw him as a superstar in Houston, but I think ever since then, it's, you know.
I mean, the Brooklyn trade that didn't work out. Then he goes to Philly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was working. But then after that, it's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah.
But now let's talk about the MVP race. Okay. Biggest thing. Is the MVP race in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win it, you know?
I think, honestly, I don't know if you can decide the MVP in the regular season. I know it's based on the regular season, but it's super tough, and there's multiple people that can really,
And it's like, you know, don't see people that try as hard in the regular season as you do.
Exactly. Like, and that's why I think, I don't know. I think the MVP should be for the whole season rather than the regular season. Cause let's say like the Utah Jazz go into the season and their power rankings like 11, and then Lowry Markkanen averages 40 points, whatever. The Jazz get the 10th seed, make it to the play-in, and then win the finals. Like that, the whole playoffs.
And Lowry Markkanen averaged like 60. That,
yeah. It wouldn't matter if it were to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think they need to include the playoffs in,
or like, I think at least the first two rounds. Of
something like that. Part of the playoffs. They can organize it. Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, for the standings, obviously Nikola Jokic, best big man in the world right now. I mean, I'm talking about not just in America, but like on an international standpoint, what center from another country is going to beat him? I mean, the guy's averaging 26, 12, and 9. You know what I mean?
I think, never mind. I'll leave it.
And he plays like nonchalant.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still can like just chuck up an overhead three and it goes in. Then you have Luka Doncic averaging 34 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists. That's crazy. Then Shea from the Thunder at 30 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 6 assists. Then you have Giannis at 4 with 30 points, 11.5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists. Then Jason Tatum, who, in my opinion, is kind of overrated. A little bit.
I wouldn't say overrated. He doesn't do as much as people claim that he does.
Exactly. He's averaging 27, 8, and 5 a game. Yeah. Then the next 5 at 6, it's Sabonis for the Kings, which I don't understand.
I saw there was a stat. Domantas Sabonis, he's had like 119 triple-doubles in a row. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's why I think he's so high up on the boards. And it's almost every year, too.
But it's also like, look at Jokic. He's basically doing the same thing. He's getting all the triple-doubles,
And I
too.
Think they're putting that into perspective, too, saying like, oh, if Jokic wasn't here, let's say we erase Jokic off the whole, you know,
face of the earth.
Domantas Sabonis.
Would be the Jokic to everybody now.
Yeah. Then you have D-Book at 7 for the Suns. Then you have Anthony Davis, the Lakers, at 8. Then Anthony Edwards at 9. He is way too low on that list. I am sorry.
Can slightly agree with that.
I think he should be up more like 6. Maybe 5 or 6.
They
he should be at 5 or 6.
Reorganize the whole 6
through Kawhi 10. Leonard at 10 doesn't really make sense to me. Then the next 5, they're more in alphabetical order here. It's Jalen Brunson for New York, KD for Phoenix, Rudy Gobert for Minnesota, Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers, and then Zion Williamson for the Pelicans. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What is this list? This is not a good list.
Yeah,
I'm
NBA
sorry.
Needs to get it together.
Get this.
I'll just throw my opinion out there real fast. I hate getting so like
names who should not be on this list. Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson do not deserve to be on this list. I'm sorry. They have Rudy Gobert has been injured for too long, and Zion has played half the season, if that.
He's played majority of the season, but
he's played good, but he doesn't deserve it.
I don't like being so what's that word?
Biased.
Yeah, I don't like being so biased, but I think Embiid
does deserve to be on this list as much
as
I hate to say it.
He deserves to win it.
And he does.
That's so true, because if you look at when Embiid
the
was
Sixers,
injured,
the Sixers were not good when Embiid was
injured. And Tyrese, what was it? It was a stat on like StatMuse or something. It was when Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey play together, they have a 0.779 win percentage, and that's higher than the Boston Celtics, who have the best record in the league right now. So I think if Joel Embiid played the whole season, the Sixers would maybe not be first seed, because Boston is really like dominant in the regular season, but I think they would be top 3.
I can see that. Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers. The problem was the injuries. Yeah. He's missed quite a few games this year, so that's why he's not as high on the list. But early season Tyrese Halliburton,
he was a top five candidate
for the MVP. I mean, he's making flashy passes, hitting these
elbow pass in the All-Star game.
that was crazy. The thing was it meant for Dame or was it meant for Giannis?
I don't think anybody knew, not even themselves.
I think Tyrese said he was wanting to get it to Giannis because it would have looked better.
He talked to Giannis about it.
Yeah.
There was like a clip or something.
But it's just the way it was timed didn't really work out. Yeah. But it was good that Dame was there, because then it would have just looked like
It was into a smooth.
It would have been a Shaq and a Fool kind of clip.
I was there. I saw that. Everybody was like,
Well, it's a cool clip.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of can't hate on it.
Nobody really sees that anymore, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, we pretty much covered what all we needed to cover.
Yeah. Last thing, predictions for the MVP. Go ahead.
They're gonna give it to Jokic. I already know they are. I know. It's either going to be Luka, who I think deserves it too. I mean, if you can average 34, 9, and 9, basically 10, a triple double. I mean, you deserve it, and you've led the Mavericks for so many years, and you've scored that many points. You deserve it. It's probably going to be Jokic, just because he's averaging 26.5, 12, and 9, and he's the best center in international.
I wouldn't say that Jokic stat pads, but I think he's just in such a good
system.
Yeah, he's in such a good spot for especially his play style too, because he has all those weapons around him,
and really he doesn't play defense. No. Like, let's be honest, like, Embiid, Gobert, those are like known
the
as
defender centers.
The centers that defend. Even Yusuf Nurkic does. Avdija Zubac for the Clippers, he defends better
than
him
too. He's good too. I kind of
Jokic is an offensive weapon, but a defensive liability in my opinion. He's just a body down there.
I mean, you can't really say liability because he is 7 feet tall and he's like 200 something pounds, but he's like Luka in a sense, and you could say that for Luka too, that he's a liability. He doesn't put effort into defense, and that's where it catches him.
Half the defense, double the offense for those two.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
But for my prediction for the MVP, I don't want to give it to Jokic. I really don't. And I know that's like annoying for most people
to
hear.
I just can't.
I can't do it. As a Sixers fan, I can't say confidently that I would, if I was a voter, that I would vote for Nikola Jokic, so I'm not going to. I think, again, I wish it kind of went into the playoffs a little bit more, which it doesn't now. So I guess I wish it went into the playoffs in general. But Luka Doncic or SGA, I guess you kind of have to give it to Luka stat-wise, but I think of SGA, I think if he can score more than 31 points, you got to give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, it's like he sits just there at 29 or 30, gets fouled, makes
he
one free throw.
Just 30.3.
Get bump that up by one and you got it spot on. Well, that is all the time we have here for this segment of the ASN Inside the Playbook. We hope you enjoyed this segment. The next segment coming up is Dawson Peril and Braden Folk. Yep. They are doing high school, like the McDonald's All-American and some of the best high school players in the nation and or really the state of
really
Indiana.
Cool segment, especially because we're in high school, so I guess we relate.
Yeah. But yeah, for me and Aiden, we are signing off. Yep. We hope you enjoy the rest of ASN Inside the Playbook.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Dr. Danarite's Dental Studio, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as the education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900, on-site at 113 South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdanarites.com. Dr. Danarite's Dental Studio.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. But if you're just coming back, you were just listening to me and Michael talk about some NBA news. But going into this next segment, we do have Dawson and Braden going over some high school news. So, Eli, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so baseball and softball started, and Fishers won the state basketball championship this past Saturday, March 30th.
Yeah, that was Fishers' first state title win ever. Some more things for high school basketball. I do believe the Indiana all-star team for boys basketball was selected. I'm not sure when that game is or where it is even, but I'm pretty sure that some boys did get selected for that all-star game, as well as the McDonald's All-American. I don't believe we have Flory Badinga from Kokomo did get selected to that team, so he will go play there for the McDonald's All-American games. But there is also some other top recruits in the country there playing at those games for McDonald's All-American as well. But make sure you stay tuned to hear Dawson and Braden go into some more depth about high school news here on Inside the Playbook on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Dawson Peril. I'm joined here by Braden Folk. Braden, for our first episode here together to our new format of the podcast, we're going to be talking about Indiana high school basketball. More specifically, we formed our starting five, who we think will work the best together. Currently starting five for Indiana high school basketball. I'll get things kicked off, though, with my point guard. It's going to be the senior Isaac Andrews over at Wapahani. Pendleton played Wapahani earlier this year. I got to call the game, and, you know, he is a very versatile point guard that can get it done on pretty much everywhere, all over the floor. He's very good at scoring, especially from around the perimeter. He scores 24.9 points a night. He's a very good shooter, 49% from three. He's made 91 three-pointers this season. And on top of that, great defender, 1.9 steals a game. And when you look at the experience side of things, because, I mean, if you're building a starting five, you know, that could take on any other starting five in all of Indiana for high school, I think experience is a huge, huge factor. So I got myself a four-year starter at the point guard spot. He has scored over 2,000 points. I think he's the all-time scorer in Wapahani history. He also can move around the rock. He averages 3.3 assists a game, which is pretty solid for high school ball. So, you know, it was a tough choice. I think getting an athletic point guard definitely has its benefits. Not saying that Isaac Andrews isn't athletic, but I think, you know, he does more of his offensive success around the arc as well as moving around the ball. But I think getting a facilitator that can also shoot the ball is going to be very beneficial for me. And then I think I can make up for some of that lost athleticism down the line with my forwards. What about you, Braden?
Point guard I have is Xavier Robinson. He's from Lawrence North. Not sure the class. I didn't go into as depth as what you did, obviously.
Junior, senior year.
Yeah.
I thought you
He currently holds 20 Division I offers to my source of 27 sports. He's a four-star recruit, which is it's pretty good. I mean, you're one away from five. So, I mean,
pretty solid.
Beats me. He averages 19.5 points per game. I believe most of them are from three-pointer. 3.4 assists per game. Doesn't really shoot the rock. Pass the rock as much, but it definitely gets the boards for a point guard. He's got 4.6 boards a game. It's kind of nice. He's very athletic. Gets up to the rim. He's way better than Isaac Andrews.
Dude, not cool.
It's okay, man.
I like to mention Isaac Andrews led Wapahani to a 26-2 season, and they are still alive. They're playing in the state championship.
Lawrence North was ranked nationally.
Now, then again, Wapahani is two-way. That's another thing I have to point out here, that, you know, Isaac Andrews hasn't played the greatest competition in his four-year high school career, again, because he's two-way. But, I mean, he could be on a 4A team and still be dominating, in my opinion. At least when I watched him play, he was very, very good. He's one of the few, like, talented guards that I think gave Pendleton Ice trouble. Pendleton did a great job this season, you know, locking up their opponent's best player. But I think Isaac Andrews is one of those few outliers. So I went with Isaac Andrews. But moving on forward to, and you went with, recapping here?
Xavier Robertson.
Xavier Robertson or whatever. All right, for my shooting guard moving forward at the two, I got myself a little Purdue recruit, Jack Binter from Brownstown Central. Jack Binter, all-time scoring record up there. He's, as I mentioned, a Purdue recruit. He's a three-star, and he's very good at the rim. You know, I mentioned earlier my point guard with Isaac Andrews. I'm going to be losing some of that athleticism. I think I make that up with Jack Binter. If you don't know, he broke a backboard his junior season last year, so, you know, I think that pretty much sums up how athletic that guy is.
It doesn't sound like much of an athlete to me, because he's committed to Purdue.
That's crazy.
I got shooting guard. I got Braylon Mullins. Obviously, me and Dawson, we watched him play. We called the game, hit a buzzer beater against our team, Pendleton, and got posted in overtime. Pretty big basketball.
50 points.
Yeah, he had, like, the entire team's points. I don't think after the first quarter, halftime, what it was, he scored all the points for the team. And he currently averages 25 points a game, which is actually insane. He's a four-star recruit holding 15 Division I offers. 3.2 assists per game and 6.2 rebounds per game. He can get the boards. He can shoot it from wherever he wants on the floor. He is very, very dominant. A little physical, not super duper physical to my liking at least, but he's very athletic and he can shoot the rock.
Yeah, he's very good. I'm going to go ahead and spoil my small forward. It's Braylon Mullins. You know, you pretty much summed it up, Braden. He's a walking bucket. You know, He can score at all three levels. As Pendleton Knights knows, in that overtime game, he just got to the rim so easily. I think Josiah Gustin did a pretty good job guarding him, especially for those first couple quarters. But, man, he can push forward and get to the rim whenever he wants. But on top of that, he can hit mid-ranges. He can shoot from beyond the arc. He's 6'5". I'm not sure his weight, but, you know, he's not necessarily a big guy. He's pretty skinny. So I think moving him to the small forward spot isn't outrageous. And on top of that, Jack Binter, my shooting guard, he's 6'5" as well. So those guys, I think, were pretty interchangeable for me. But I had to put Braylon Mullins on the list. In my opinion, he is a top three player in all of high school basketball right now for Indiana, especially on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, I mean, he can lock down. He averages, I mean, both in the perimeter and the post. He averages 3.2 steals a game, a block a game. He is a very, very good player. Not much to mention on him. Braden, what you got for your small forward?
I have Jalen Harlson. I guess you can consider not so much in Indiana. I mean, the school is. It's La Lumiere. We weren't going to consider these private schools or the academies, but he did go to Fishers, transferred away this year. He's a class 2025, holds 20 Division I offers. He's a five-star recruit. I believe he's the highest recruit in Indiana in like the past couple of years. He's really good. He averages 23.5 points per game. So he can shoot the rock wherever he can drive. I watched him dunk on Cooper Flagg on YouTube. It was probably one of the greatest things I've seen. He averages 3.9 assists per game. He doesn't move the ball as much as you'd want him to, but he could definitely work on that. And he averages 7.7 rebounds per game. And he definitely get up there and get the boards whenever you want.
Yeah, he's definitely really good. You mentioned there, La Lumiere is definitely a controversial pick.
Yeah.
I think we did consider private schools outside of the question, but I let it slide just because he played at Fishers last year. So, he has had a public school past. Moving forward to the power forward positions, I had junior Trent Sisley from Heritage Hills. Trent Sisley, a four-star. He can also score at all three levels. I think what I'm building here with my team is guys that can get it done on both sides of the court. I think all my guys, outside of maybe Jack Binter, at least statistically speaking, are very good defenders. a junior. Trent Sisley, my power forward, he averages 2.2 blocks a game, 1.8 steals a game. As I was mentioning, he's a four-star. He has offers from Purdue, IU, many other big colleges around the Midwest. And, yeah, a great scorer on top of that. Very, very good player. Not much to say about him. He averages 24.2 points a game, 11.4 rebounds. I think he's a very good rebounder, pretty physical guy. So, you know, he can go up and grab the boards whenever he needs or whenever I need it. So, yeah. Again, not much to say.
And my power forward, I got Dazan Briscoe. Sorry for me to pronounce it if you're watching this. I really don't know how you say his first name. You never know, man. We could get some good viewers. Dazan Briscoe, I think is how you say your name. He's from Crispus Attucks, Indianapolis. He currently holds 11 Division I offers. He's a very dominant player. He's a four-star recruit, according to 24/7 Sports. And he averages 14.3 points. It's obviously not the super high numbers as the other players we've named, but he can get it done on the glass. 10.8 rebounds. He definitely gets the rebounds, very physical, and he averages 1.6 a game, assists per game. So he can definitely sit down there in the post and pass out to the corner three, and he can go crazy, guys. I'm telling you, he's the best player in Indiana.
Not as many rebounds as Trent Sisley, though. Just wanted to point that out.
How many has he got?
11.4 a game.
I don't care. He ain't that physical.
He's physical, bro.
Not that physical.
All right. To the center, I think this is pretty obvious. Braden and I already know for a fact Braden picked the same guy. And I think if you go with anyone else for the center, you're just wrong. And that is Flory Badunga from Kokomo, the Kansas commit, Gatorade Player of the Year for Indiana this year, Indiana Mr. Basketball for this season. He's a stud. He's a beast. 100% the best player in all of Indiana. He's going to go on to do great things at Kansas. And I bet in a couple of years, we're going to be seeing his name in a lot of NBA drafts talk. I think he could be a lottery pick, if not a mid to lower first round pick, because very good rebounder, pretty fast too for his size, is my understanding. Haven't really got to watch him play much, but he's quick. He's strong, pretty much everything you want from a big center like that. And again, as we were talking about with the power forwards, he can dominate off the glass. So, you know, not much else to ask for. Great blocker. I think he leads Indiana in blocks per game. I'm not sure exactly his averages, but great player.
So I'm going to actually make a switch to my lineup since I don't want to keep the same as you. But I'm going to actually put Josiah Gustin at my center. Yeah, he's obviously from Pendleton Heights. I guess you can consider me a little bit of a biased reporter, if what you want to call me. I don't know what you call me, reporter or what. He currently didn't hold a whole lot of offers. He committed to Marion. Obviously, is not known for basketball, guys. I mean, come on now. But he is a very good unranked prospect. I mean, he averaged 14.9 points per game. Obviously, that's not a great number. But if you could see how he can shoot and dunk and his athleticism, he is built to be a professional basketball player, guys. He averages 2.1 assists per game. He can pass the rock whenever he needs to, and he can also get 6.9 boards a game. Guys, I don't think you understand. He shouldn't even be a center, to be honest. I don't know why I put him as center. He should be like a small forward.
He's not a center.
He's a small forward, but I'm putting him as center because he is very physical and athletic. He can slam it on anybody's head he wants, all right? That's it.
Okay. I like the pick. Bias aside, I like the pick. He's a good player. Against Flory, though, I'm pretty good friends with Josiah. I don't know. I think Flory might have the upper hand there. Moving forward, we got the sixth man, as I mentioned on an intro. I went with a combo guard, KJ Windham from Ben Davis. Windham, a great player,
yep.
Very athletic. I can put him at the point guard. I can put him at the shooting guard. Say my Isaac Andrews, Jack Benner, they're having troubles. He can go in for him. I think my team is much better. I don't know, though.
I'm supposed to give my sixth man, yeah.
Yeah.
My sixth man, Flory Badunga. I mean, I don't think you understand this
Wait,
pick.
So you took him out of the starting lineup because I had him, so you moved him to the sixth man.
Yeah, so here's my reasoning on this, guys. So, obviously, we know bench is a big part of basketball. You want a good bench, obviously, but you want your best players to be starting. That's why I put Josiah Gustin over Flory Badunga. He's better and more athletic, and just a better overall player. But I really wanted Flory Badunga for the depth and the athleticism and just the overall great, talented prospect to be on my bench. I want him to come off the bench and take out Dazan Briscoe, whoever I want, or I'll even have him come in for Xavier Robinson at point guard. I don't care. He is such a good athlete and committed to the University of Kansas, and he averages 18.9 points per game. He's a five-star recruit. He could literally be the best player in the world if he wanted to, okay? That's why he's coming off the bench.
That's why he's coming off the bench.
Yep.
Nice. All right. I think I have the better team. I think we can both make that agreement.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
I think your team sucks. But I got awful.
If I had to make, if we had to choose a seventh man, this is also another Pendleton Heights guy. I might go with Aaron Cookston. That perimeter defense, I mean.
Boo.
Think about it.
Get this guy out of here. Party
There's
foul.
Not too many guys that can defend the perimeter and the post like Aaron
Party
Cookston.
Party foul.
All right. That's all the time we have, though. We hope you enjoyed the first segment here with Braden and I. We'll be back weekly, but that'll do it for our time here on the Arabian Sports Network Inside the Playbook, 91.7 WEEN.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials, and treatments such as teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalon.com, Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEN.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of Inside the Playbook here on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. And my name is Aiden Wilson.
And I'm Eli Libler. But make sure you subscribe with the post notification on to catch our next episode of Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.